Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we have prepared our hearts by penance and charitable works. Today, we gather together to herald with the whole church the beginning of the celebration of the Lord's Paschal mystery, that is to say, his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city for our salvation, following in his footsteps so that, being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection and his new life. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, sanctify these branches with your blessing, that we who follow Christ the King in exaltation may reach the eternal Jerusalem through him, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I give my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said,
"Not during the festival, for fear that there may be a riot among the people."
When he was in Bethany reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant.
"Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? It would have been sold for more than 300 days' wages, and the money given to the poor."
They were infuriated with her. Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will have with you always, and whenever you wish, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him,
"Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, The teacher says, where is my guest room? where I may eat the Passover with my disciples. Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
He said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish, for the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said,
"Take it. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them. And they all drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be."
Then Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he vehemently replied,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch."
He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. He said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will."
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely."
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
"Rabbi."
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
"Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day, I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled."
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging,
"We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'"
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?"
Then Jesus answered,
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
"What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
"Prophesy."
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said,
"You too were with the Nazarene Jesus."
But he denied it, saying,
"I neither know nor understand what you are talking about."
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
Once again, he denied it. A little later, the bystander said to Peter once more,
"Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean."
He began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know this man about whom you are talking."
And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
The chief priest accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
"Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of."
Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him."
Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews,"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Ah, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which is translated,
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"Look, he is calling Elijah."
One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James and Joses, and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
My sisters and brothers, we have begun a journey for a week called Holy Week. It is holy because it is focused and centered in Jesus Christ. He is the one who makes all things holy. In a special way, I want to greet my brothers and sisters here in the front who have been journeying during the past months in the RCIA program in preparing for the sacraments, and just to know that in a very special way, I think this week is meaningful to you to follow Jesus in a very close way. Jesus enters the holy city of Jerusalem. It is the stage for which our redemption is accomplished. It is the final days, summing up all that Jesus has done from the beginning at his birth in Bethlehem, through his journeys through Galilee and Judea, up and down the land that we now call holy, bringing it to a conclusion in Jerusalem. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Sanctus, sanctus, sanctus. We sing in the middle of our Mass every time. Holy is this person that God has sent to us to be with us, close to us, and to understand us. To be close to another person, to understand another person, requires humility. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not hold on to the fact that he was God. He emptied himself. The very core of what it means to love. Love is distorted in our society today. Some people don't even like to hear the word because it refers to the distortion. But Jesus' actions are pure love because it is rooted in his humility as God becoming a human person. Without humility, Jesus could not have reached out to the poor because he would have put himself above them. Jesus could not have touched those with disease because he would have seen them as accursed. Jesus certainly would not have reached out to sinners because he would have seen them as those condemned. He would have turned his back on the unfaithful, and he would certainly have judged the arrogant and the proud. But Jesus humbled himself. God became a human person. And it's through his humility that Jesus is close to every human person. He never exalted himself. He only lived who he was, the Son of God sent to express in so many ways the closeness of God and his mercy to every person. We stood with him over the last months in the desert as he was tempted in the same way that we are tempted. We've watched him through this liturgical year stand close to those who are ill, with lepers, with those who are disabled, with the blind, the lame, who suffered many diseases as we have been experiencing over this past year. He has been close to us because he was close to that same reality in his own days. He did not avoid or shun or judge sinners, the Samaritan woman, Zacchaeus, the woman caught in adultery. He did not shun them. He walked toward them to touch them, to speak to them, to call them to a conversion. He did not point fingers. He did not gossip. He wanted to be close to them because he understood them through his own experience. He met them and called them away from their sin. He was able to listen. And yet, as we see so clearly in the gospel today, in this first reading of the Passion for Holy Week, that he experienced the brutality of power that is misused, the power of others that promote injustice, the power of others that cause judgment and cruelty due to gossip and falseness. He experienced all of that, which we see rampant in our society today. For that reason, brothers and sisters, Jesus understands us, and he is close to us. He even understood death, experiencing the woman whose son, her only son, was found dead, and yet he restored the son to his mother, and his dear friend Lazarus to going to him in the tomb and calling him forth. These few highlights of the life and ministry of Jesus, especially in his 3 years of active ministry, sum up for us as we enter into this Holy Week the closeness of God to every human person, the understanding of God in each situation. And so I think it's important as we enter into this week that we do so almost as if this were a retreat week. I would encourage you very strongly this year, after all that we've passed through, to take this week seriously. Some of us jump from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. There's so much to meditate upon, so much that can speak to us during this week. Daily Mass would not be beyond our reach to hear the readings and to continue walking with Jesus, being with him, with us, on Thursday to celebrate the gift of himself at the Last Supper, giving us the Eucharist that we celebrate here every Sunday, and to stand still in the darkness of death as he even experienced our death, so that we can experience the joy and the beauty of resurrection. And so I invite you this week to walk with Jesus closely. Read whatever you can that can help us allow Jesus to be closer in our own lives. St. Ignatius of Loyola, whenever he would do a meditation teaching the Jesuits and teaching us, always said before you enter into a meditation or a day of retreat to ask for a grace. What does that mean? Many times our prayers are asking for some favor. I need this, my family needs this. But to ask for a grace means to ask for an aspect of life that may be missing in us. The grace of forgiveness, the grace of understanding, the grace of wisdom, the grace of patience, the grace of starting over again if we have sinned. A grace is a gift from God directly. It's not just a favor to receive some kind of a material good, but a personal grace. And so I would ask us today as we stand here together, and I want to say how beautiful it is to see so many of you here today. I was recalling last year this cathedral was empty as we celebrated this Palm Sunday. But God, by his grace, has called us back together. But examine yourself and just say, what grace do I need from God? What favor do I need from God for my life? To be not who I am, but who I am called to be. The grace of conversion, the grace of God's mercy. Let us walk this week close to Jesus, understanding him better as he entered into this life to walk close to us and to understand us completely. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, was spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Jesus turned to his Father in his final moments on the cross, just as he had throughout his life. And so we too turn to God our Father each day in our needs, and we pray and ask for his assistance.
For the church, that recounting the passion and the death of our Savior will deepen our faith and strengthen our resolve to bear witness to the awesome sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all society may respect the basic dignity of all members of humanity, even those convicted of terrible crimes, and see that the death penalty is abolished by all governments everywhere. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who would be baptized at the Easter Vigil, especially our own catechumens, and for all who will be welcomed into the church this Easter, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us, that we may always be willing to help our family members, friends, neighbors, strangers carrying their crosses, knowing that the Lord recognizes their weight and is always willing to share our burden. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may extend his healing hand upon those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus and bless those who minister to them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Dorothy and Barney O'Laven, Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesucita J. Canales, Ruben Moreno, and Mr. and Mrs. Gregorio Farias. And for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts and for all our intentions, spoken and unspoken. Let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray for the thousands of people who have entered our country or at the border today, that they may be treated with dignity, for those who are working with them, that they may be given the strength of the gospel, and for our government leaders, that they may find just solutions for everyone. We pray to the Lord. God of strength and compassion, your Son cried out to you on the cross. We cry out to you as we carry the crosses of our life each day. Listen to our prayers and to those who call out to you in faith, through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that, though we may not merit it by our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so with the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by thy cross and resurrection you have set us free.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you...
Hello,
Lord,
I'm Father Peter Lisandro, rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist.
Humbly,
may God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with his love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. Spread and may Almighty God bless you and keep
and
you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.